Welcome to another edition of the UIW Athletics Podcast. This is your host, Shane Melling. We have a trio of interviews for you this week. We actually have an interview with Alex Cepeda from the softball team. We recorded that last week, so some of the information will be a little out of date, but we feel like it'll still give you a good picture of who Alex is and the type of season she's having. Then we have head tennis coach John Newman, longest tenured coach here at Incarnate Word in his 23rd season. Over 600 career wins, and he is a three-time Hall of Fame member of Trinity University and very well-known all throughout the San Antonio area for his tennis playing and coaching. And then finally, we will have senior baseball pitcher Alex Schaefer on with us. The spring season in full effect right now, full bloom. Softball is at home this weekend for another conference matchup. The baseball team is on the road. Track has three different meets this week: Texas Relays, Texas State Multi-Events, and then the Trinity Tiger Relays on Saturday. So it's a full schedule. Things are going very well here at Incarnate Word this spring. We ask you to please come out, and now we ask you just enjoy the interviews. Okay, joining us now is Alex Cepeda from the softball team. So Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you guys I think you've played 25 games so far, so just about halfway through the season. We've had a little bit worse weather this year than in past years. How has that, you think, affected the team? I know you guys had to play at Smithson Valley High School last week for a game. You've had to reschedule a number of different games. How's that, kind of knowing day-to-day, like, are we going to play, are we not going to play?
It's definitely, I guess, kind of frustrating because we've lost so many games because of the weather. And I mean, we try to, as like we did play in Smithson Valley, so we try to like accommodate like with those games and like the other teams, because they do drive all these miles to play us. So I mean, we do what we can, but it's
not that fun.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're excited for a big game, right, and then knowing that you have a rain delay or you're rained out. It's a bummer.
Yeah. Now, you've had, this year you started the season in center field, and last year you were basically our everyday center fielder. Over about the last, I think, 8 to 10 games, you've moved to shortstop. How has that change been for you? Because there's a big difference between outfield and infield.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was recruited here as a middle infielder, mm-hmm, and within the first week of practice my freshman year, I was moved to the outfield. So that was a big adjustment, because I only played outfield my freshman year of high school. So moving there, I mean, I adjusted as much as I could, and I think I did pretty well. And moving back to the infield, it was kind of like homey, I guess, since,
right,
I had done it for years. And but the reaction time was definitely different, and I just had to get more reps and get back into the groove of it.
Is it hard, like, because your decision making is completely different on the infield compared to the outfield?
Mm-hmm.
So is that just kind of like, you mentioned practice time, is that one of those things that just will take a little bit before you, okay, I need to go to this spot during this situation, this spot, to another?
Definitely with more reps and practice situations, I've gotten back to the hang of it. Because at first it was difficult, like trying to remember, okay, I need to go here, I need to go,
right,
there at certain situations, certain plays. But with practice and stuff, it's definitely helped.
Good. And then something I noticed very recently, normally you bat left-handed and are a slap hitter. But you started to bat right-handed a little bit here and there, and I saw you hit a double over the weekend, and I said, why is she batting right-handed every time? She just hit that all the way to the fence. So can we expect more right-handed hitting from you?
I hope so. I mean, coming into college, I had always been a right-handed hitter. So coming in my freshman year, I was a right-handed hitter, and at the end of the year, I was told that they wanted to use me on the left side because of my speed. So I worked on it all summer, came in, and I'd always been a number three or a number four hitter.
Right.
Came in to fall ball, and I was lead off. And so that was another big change. So I got used to it, and I worked hard on it. And but I, in the back of my head, like, I would always tell her, like, in certain situations, like, can I bat right-handed? And she would say yes, but I'd never use it in a game. And finally, she finally gave me the opportunity. And, I mean, I wanted to prove to her that I could do it. And so hopefully I will be able to use more right-handed.
It seems like one of those things where when no one's on base, have you be a slap hitter.
Yes.
But when people are on base, then bat right-handed, right. You can drive them in. Talk a little about, you know, the difference between batting leadoff and batting third or fourth. You know, people might not know kind of the mindset of the hitter when you're batting leadoff compared to third or fourth.
Well, as a leadoff, your job is to get on base. So you're on base, your second batter can move you over, and then you have your meat of the lineup, which brings in runs. So changing from a leadoff to a right-handed was... it kind of put more pressure on me because I was the lead I was supposed to get on. So you're doing your best to put pressure on the defense to get on base. And then whereas if you're a third or fourth, it's just, okay, I'm trying to bring in these runs so I can put the ball anywhere, anywhere in the outfield and anywhere in the gaps. So it's different, but, I mean, it's doable.
Do you try to be more patient at the plate when you're batting leadoff, just to let people see the pitcher throw pitches?
Yes, to get more deep into the count instead of going for the first pitch, or you want to make sure that this pitch is yours.
Right. Now, you guys are starting conference play this weekend. Abilene Christian comes to town, and it's a team we're familiar with, having been in the Lone Star Conference with them as well. How exciting is it to be starting up, you know, Southland Conference play first season? What are you guys looking forward to?
Well, we're definitely trying to come together as a team because we are young and we do have a lot of freshmen, but we also have a lot of talent. So it's putting that together, and I think for the most part we've had more working on mental toughness in practices, and I think that's put us more in a, like, game like, well, in practice we get put in game like situations, and we succeeded. Like yesterday's practice, we did really well. So coming in with that kind of practice and starting the week off with that, going into conference play, just like motivates us and puts fire in us, and I think that we can come out strong. And
do you guys know anything? Have you been paying attention to the other Southland Conference schools to see how they've been doing? Or is it kind of, we're going to see what happens this first time through, don't really know much about them?
We don't really know much about them. We went to a tournament at UTEP, and we did see Houston Baptist play. However, we aren't playing them this year.
Right.
But for the most part, we're going in blind, especially Division One.
Right.
So we're just kind of hoping that we can play every game the way we know we can play. And
what's been the biggest change you've noticed from going from Division Two to Division One?
The speed of the game is a lot faster, and you have in Division Two you'd have, okay, maybe like a few good hitters. In Division One you have 1 through 9 who can get on, hit balls to the fence, put balls in places like where you have to work to get them out at certain in certain situations. So.
All right, Alex. Well, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
I think that's it.
Everyone needs to come out to the games this weekend.
Everyone,
that's what you're supposed to say,
yes,
right there.
Everyone needs to come out and support.
Okay, joining us now is head tennis coach John Mitchell. John, welcome to our show.
Yeah, good.
And you are the longest tenured UIW coach. I think you're in 23rd.
23rd.
But you've seen a lot of change from NAIA to Division II, now to Division I. I guess we want to kind of focus on that last change. What's the biggest thing you've noticed this year going from Division II to Division I in terms of, you know, I guess tennis specifically?
Well, probably the biggest thing is it's going to affect us as a recruiting. We're going from one level to another level. It's more visible in basketball and football. Mm-hmm. Normally we've been at the top of the heap, and whether it was NAIA,
right,
where we won a couple of national championships, or Division II where we're ranked pretty high, and now it just goes to another level. So it's recruiting, and then with recruiting is your budget. Your budget has to increase because the travel with the conference that we're in. But the biggest difference is going to be in recruiting.
Yeah.
And that's going to be everybody's.
Yeah, everyone probably says that.
Everybody's going to have that. And then the next thing will be then your facilities. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you don't have good, that's how I was able to build these facilities. Because I was trying to get players and I had no facilities. So I went to some friends and said, hey, if we want to have a good team, we're going to have some good facilities. So then we raised some money and we were able to build this. But, it starts there. And then goes to facilities and then goes to budgets and then trickles on down. But the biggest thing is recruiting.
Now, you recently got your 600th career win. I think we both found out today, basically. But I guess just looking back, what's it been like? Did you ever think you would coach this long?
Yeah, I always knew that that's all I was going to do because I was a military person out of college in Vietnam, and I was planning on making it a career. But then when I resigned my commission, then I knew that I would be in this for forever.
And I think you see a lot of coaches, once they start, you stay in it. What do you enjoy most about, I guess, coaching?
Beating other teams. Yeah, beating other teams. And other coaches that think they're hot stuff. You know, always enjoy that. Or then if I get beat by somebody over and over, like Abilene or used to be St. Edwards, then it just makes you try to recruit harder, train better, you know, and whatever it takes to, you know, from being a player, you don't want to lose. Mm-hmm. You don't like to lose. And losing kind of motivates you to get better players, to train harder, to work harder than the next guy. Yeah.
Let's talk a little about this year's team. The men have done very well. They've won, I think they're 10-3. They've won 10 of their last 11 matches. And it's interesting. I get the results back. And it seems like we're always down 1-0 after doubles play, but then we come back in singles and we end up winning the match. What is it about this year's team that they're just, it seems like they excel more in the singles play than in the doubles play?
Well, we really have two good doubles teams, and you need three, because if you give them one doubles, our number three doubles is always losing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've won a match.
I think they're 4-18 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
So basically they don't win. So now the other team just has to win one of those two. Like against Abilene, we had three tiebreakers.
Yeah.
They were all tiebreakers. And so we didn't win any of the tiebreakers. So so when you give them one point, then it makes it a little bit tougher because both of those other teams have to win. And if one of them lose, we lose that point. But then we got really good, strong singles players. But it still puts and it's been really good for them to mature because they're behind.
Right.
So now they really got to, you know, they can't relax. Even though you have 1 point, you still got to win three singles matches. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes it's just as easy to win four as it is three.
Yeah.
So the 1 point puts you in a hole, but it makes you fight harder. If you win the 1 point, if you're not careful, you relax. Mm-hmm. So the 1 point can be meaningless, but for us to get in that hole, it makes, okay, now nobody can look sideways and depend on somebody else. They all focus on their deal. And that's why we were able to win. But I think we've lost matches where we even won the doubles.
Yeah, we had. I think one of the losses, we actually won the doubles point.
Won the doubles point. And so then you think, okay, three guys are going to win.
Yeah.
So they're not as intent, or somebody goes on late or whatever. But anyway, yeah, we're really short one double. If you have three doubles teams that can compete like Abilene, it just takes bad luck to lose all three of them in a tiebreaker.
Yeah. And it seems like just our singles, you have a pretty set 1 through 5 guys, and then the 6th, I think, is rotated a little bit with a couple different guys. But does it help when you have a set, I guess, rotation of players, like they know going in what they're going to be doing and what's expected of them?
Yeah, and we base that on the skill level. You know, so our 1 player is our best player.
Yeah.
And then if 2 starts losing and 3's winning, we'll move them up because it just I've always tried to play it in strength of order. Now, some of the schools, they just mix their guys up so much, you know, like the Spurs, they don't know who's going to start from 1 minute to the next. They don't know who's going to play. Pop keeps them all on their toes. And if that's the system you're under, you learn to play with that. But if you're under a system like we have where you play 1 through 5, 1 through 6, they know who's going to play where, and then you change it after they've been used to that. Sometimes they can't handle it.
Yeah.
So that's the system we use. It's fair because I'm not trying to jockey my lineup. Mm-hmm. So I just use a fair system.
Well, it seems to be working this year for the guys. They're playing really well. Southland Conference play, they've only had one match so far, but still have quite a few matches left in the season. The women, on the other hand, have started out a little slower, not quite as deep on the women's side as the men. Have you noticed that, comparing the two, have you noticed a higher level of play moving up to Division I men, or is it a bigger difference between Division I and Division II women, I guess?
Bigger difference on the women.
And on the women's side.
Yeah, there's no weak teams. They're all good. Whereas in Division II, there's only a few really good teams. Mm-hmm. And then you can pile up a bunch of wins and always be successful. But in Division I, there are no weak teams. If you beat a team, you beat a good team. And then we had a girl end up being ineligible, a good player, that really just hurt us. But you never know, because we're playing better competition, so you think it would hurt us, but it might not if we're just playing good teams.
Mm-hmm. I guess you could probably talk about it. Talk to us about, most of the teams have a lot of kids from outside the United States. We have many kids from outside the United States. What is it about recruiting, the foreign players? Is how difficult is that? And how come there aren't as many good American players?
They are, but if there's a world-class player out of San Antonio, he's got to turn down Texas, A&M, Baylor, Texas Tech, Rice. He's got to turn down all those schools and say, Incarnate Word's where I want to play. Well, a lot of the kids already have ties. Their dad or their grandpa or somebody has ties to one of those big state schools, unless they come out of our program.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do with our junior program. We have a couple of really good kids that are going to be world-class players that hopefully fill in. Now, so then that leaves the junior colleges where you play against them and you see the caliber of player, so you don't have to guess if he's good or not.
Mm-hmm.
However, the junior colleges even changed their rules. They can only have 2 foreign players.
Oh, okay.
So they can't have 6 or 8. If they had 6 or 8, maybe Texas gets the very best one in the country, and then everybody else fights for the other ones.
Right.
And, of course, we're right next to Laredo, sort of, and we go down there a lot and play. So we've been pretty successful at getting those. And the foreign student-athlete and tennis player doesn't normally make a big difference as to where it's Texas,
right,
St. Edward's, or St. Mary's, because he doesn't know the history behind the schools. All he knows is full scholarship.
Yeah.
So if you get to them first and offer them a full, you have a real good chance.
Where have you had the most success, I guess?
Mainly through the junior colleges, coaches that we know in the junior college.
Is that because it's easier for the foreign kids to become eligible if they go to junior college first?
Right.
Or is it harder for them?
Really easy. They can't speak English. They go to junior college. They learn English. They all learn it really fast.
Yeah.
Some of the guys could not speak a word of English when they first go to junior college. And they pick it up. They pick it up amazingly fast. I don't think I could go to a junior college in Russia and pick it up in a semester.
I try to learn Spanish, and it's never sticks with me.
Yeah, I know. But these kids... And a lot of them that come from foreign countries, the countries are so much smaller that they're in a different country, so they have to learn another language anyway. So they already know a couple of languages, and it's just real easy for them, yeah. So then the person gets eligible, where if he came here, we used to have ELS where they could take that English, and we don't work that anymore. So they learn the English, and they can get eligible, and we can see them play, so it's perfect. Whereas if I go to Europe, and I'm going to have to see somebody play.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's a little expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're probably going to have to end up doing it,
Does it help if you have, if you're recruiting a kid who's at a junior college who's, say, just from Spain, and you have another kid on your team that's already from Spain, does it help if you already have a kid from the same country as someone you're recruiting?
That's probably how you get them. The kid from Spain that's on my team probably knows somebody over there. And he could say, he's at my level or better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
so you can take his word for it. So yeah, it helps a lot. Like I had two or three Swedes when we won all those nationals at NAIA. One got another one, one another one got another one, another one knew another one. They wanted to go to school, and that's how it goes. And they're all like that. The guy get a player from Germany, then two or three guys from Germany. So the word gets out. So
you just have to get one, and then
you have to get one, and then go from there. You know, and hope he gets better. Hope he likes a school. Mm-hmm. Hope he graduates, and then hope he contributes. You know. However, my Swedish guys have just graduated and gone on. They're all doing well. But I have not gotten one.
They haven't helped you out anymore?
No, they haven't. They haven't. No feedback, you know.
Too bad. Too bad. Well, Coach, we're running out of time, but we thank you for coming on, and hopefully we can finish the season strong.
Yeah, awesome. Look forward to next year.
Thank you.
Okay, joining us now is Alex Schaefer, pitcher for the baseball team. And Alex, thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Senior on the team, you guys are making the move to Division I this year. I think looking at all of our sports programs, you guys have the toughest schedule. What's it been like? You've played some big-name teams. You've played a lot of teams from up north. I guess, can you compare it to last year, playing a full Division II schedule this year, now a full Division I schedule? What's the biggest change that you've noticed?
I mean, it's been fun. You know, we've played, like you said, a bunch of big teams. And we sort of, got there. We got nothing to lose. You know, nobody really expects us to win anything, and so we just kind of been having fun with it, and it's, of course, we obviously try to win and expect to win every game, but sometimes it doesn't end up that way. But playing these bigger teams, it's been fun just to get that challenge and be able to prove ourselves at the Division I level.
Is it kind of cool to be able to say, I was on the first Incarnate Word Division I baseball team?
Definitely cool. I think, for all sports here, everyone's going to remember, that first team because, we're the ones breaking ground and showing that we can actually compete here.
Now, last year you were kind of the number three or number four starter. This year you've moved to the bullpen, but you've been really effective for us. You've served as a long man. You've been a closer a couple times. It seems like Coach Heap has a lot of confidence in you at this point to bring you in kind of in any situation. What's the difference for you going from that starter mentality to being in the bullpen?
As a starter, I usually would try to, sort of even myself out so I can, extend myself through longer innings. And coming out of the bullpen, I generally just try and, give it everything I got for, as long as they need me until I run out of gas.
And, I think one of the keys has been you come in, you throw strikes right away. How important is that, not just for you, but for all the pitchers on the team?
It's definitely big. I mean, coming out of the bullpen, you have less margin for error because, oftentimes there's guys on base and you don't have as much time to recover and to be able to, even out and keep getting outs. But so coming out of the pen, you've got to really just come in and attack the zone and give our fielders a chance to make a play.
Here's a question I have for you, a little bit random, but when you come in, I think once or twice this year, you've had to intentionally walk the first batter. How hard is that? Sometimes you see guys throwing, trying to intentionally walk someone and almost, either throw it over the plate or just throw it way wide. How hard is it, I guess, to do that and kind of slow your body down?
It is difficult. I've come close to throwing a couple away because you're constantly trying to, put it in this one little spot, and so you suddenly need to throw it, where usually the catcher would have no chance to maybe even catch the ball.
Right.
And so to be able to suddenly have to throw it out there, it can be kind of difficult. But it's something that we've actually started working on more in practice just to make sure nothing bad happens.
Now, I always think that it'd be tough to do. You come in, you're ready to go, and then you get to throw four wide ones, and it's almost a moving target you're trying to hit.
Yeah.
One of the things that I talked to Coach earlier in the year, he's talking about how the team really needed to work on holding runners. What have you guys done, as a pitching staff to work on, keeping runners close?
Yeah, as a staff, people have been trying to steal a lot of bases on us, and, that's a combination of both of being on the pitcher and being on the catcher. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes, as a pitcher, for someone like myself, I don't have the best pickoff move, so I try to mix up my timing a lot so the runner can't get a good jump. Some of the other guys on the staff have better moves, and so they've been able to pick some guys off, which helps keep runners close. But usually if you mix up, your timing to the plate, it really disrupts and makes it really can't get a good jump.
I was thinking Dylan Boss has a good pickoff move. And you always hear early on in the game when he throws the first one over and he throws it about 15 miles an hour, you hear the other team go, oh! And then, you know, before you know it, he's picked someone off. What are some of the, you know, as a right-hander, I always feel like it's harder to pick guys off just because you're having to turn and fire. You don't get to look at them that long. How much do you focus on the runner, and how much are you focused on, you know, the batter? How do you balance that out?
Yeah, you know, as a righty, it is different because, you know, when you're a lefty, you can literally just look up and see how far off the base the guy is. So as a righty, I mean, you know, you're not going to obviously pick off guys as much, but you can still limit them from, you know, getting to second base and getting in a scoring position by mixing up your timing, you know, maybe go a high leg kick one time, maybe slide step the next time, and sort of just make it disrupt the runner's timing as well as the batter's.
Do you ever try that first guy that gets on base against you, do you ever try maybe to make it appear like you're slower to the plate or anything than you actually are, just to maybe set them up for a caught stealing?
Occasionally, you know, I mean, sometimes it's really, the situation really dictates it too, because if, you know, he's the tying runner over there at first base, you're going to do everything you can to try and keep him off second base. And so you might not try to bait someone into that as much. But, you know, occasionally you will, you know, do more of a high leg kick and maybe make him think about it a little bit.
Now this week you guys head up to Abilene Christian, a familiar opponent. They're in the Lone Star Conference with us, also making their move to Division I this year. It'll be our first Southland Conference matchup of the year. You know, what is there maybe a little more like... in this series, just because you guys know that they'll come back here, I think, the final series of the year. Is that just, does it seem a little more, I guess you guys are a little more hyped up about it, or thinking, okay, this is a series we need to win?
Yeah, I think we're definitely, you know, excited to both get conference going and to be able to play Abilene Christian, because, you know, the last couple of years, you know, they've been rivals and we sort of dislike each other. So I think a chance to, you know, at the D1 level, to get up there and be able to show that, you know, we are hopefully, you know, ideally the better program, can help, you know, with recruiting and just making a name for ourselves.
Now, I know you're from the Washington. Obviously, you have a Mariners hat on right now and a Seahawks Super Bowl shirt. So tell us, how did you end up down here in San Antonio?
I went to a junior college up just north of Seattle for my first 2 years. And my coach up there and John Maley, the pitching coach down here, go to a camp in Alaska every year to recruit players. And so they, you know, obviously ended up talking. And Coach Maley was able to come up and see me. And I just figured I'd get down to Texas and see what's going on down here.
See what the warm weather's like.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got a couple guys from up there. I know Blake Woosley's from Oregon.
Yeah. And Tim Dean, the pitcher, is from up there too.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's, now, I've only been up in that area, I think, twice. I went to Central Washington for a football game, and then last year our golf team had the regional just south of Seattle in a little town called DuPont. But in May, it's beautiful up there.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of wanted to stay longer, but I couldn't.
Yeah,
it gets
a little bit of a bad rep, you know, for the rain, but
so
it's gorgeous.
So, kind of, what are your plans after this year? You're a senior. Any thoughts of trying to continue your career, or are you looking to get you know, into the business world out there?
I mean, I've always, you know, love to be able to continue my career, but some of us just aren't, you know, blessed in that way. So, I mean, if it happens, that would be a wonderful opportunity, but it's nothing I'm counting on, and so I've been working towards my degree.
What is that in?
Business marketing.
So what would be the plan?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to come back for another year here.
Okay.
Just to finish up schooling, just with transfer credits and whatnot got, you know, mixed up. So I'll have to come back. And then I'll have to go into, you know, advertisement and promotion, some sort of...
So no coaching in your future?
I've thought about it, but...
Everybody always thinks about it, and you're like, that seems like a lot of work and not much pay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm better at actually doing it than instructing someone to do it.
Well, Alex, thanks for joining us. Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, thanks for having me, and come out and support the Cardinals.
All right, that's Alex Schaefer.